Podcast. This one will be in English, and it's with me, Oscar, as the host. Philip is away on vacation, and I just came back from vacation. And so, coming back from this part of the world, which being North America, I thought, who better to have as a guest than someone who's actually from North America, or more specifically, from New York. Not that I've been in New York, but here you have him, Eric.
Welcome. Hey Oscar, how's it going? How's the jet lag?
It's all right. Could be worse, I guess. Slept 14 hours tonight.
Oh wow! Look, I bet jet lag feels better than it's felt after the last few games.
Yeah, I would take jet lag. I would take a lot of jet lag to make us play better football. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll be like Gunnerblad. Your pain will help the Arsenal tomorrow.
Or we can hope.
For Valencia, that's what tomorrow is.
Yes, that's true. Well, so how are you doing in South Africa?
Yeah, I'm all right. Summer's ending over here. It's just, it's been a painful time watching the Arsenal. So, and that's what dominates my week, probably like you and everyone listening. So it's been, it's been pain all around the world.
That's what the Arsenal do.
Yeah.
Sometimes they bring a bit of joy also, but at the moment it just feels like they bring a lot of pain to all of the world.
Yeah, well, again, let's hope tomorrow brings better news and we beat Valencia.
Yeah, that would be good. So, yeah. Well, I was, as Philip likes to do it, we have few talking points, and that will probably be mainly about, unfortunately, about Wolves Arsenal and Leicester Arsenal, because Philip has covered the games before that, and we haven't recorded after the Wolves game. He recorded after the Palace game, which I haven't
touched. Yeah, thanks. Again, you left me some great matches to talk about.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that.
Hey, it's all right. What better to talk about the Arsenal?
Yeah. It's like therapy. It's good to talk about it, I think. Maybe.
Yeah. Shared pain is diluted pain or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so I think we should probably maybe not talk too much around it. We should probably dive into the shit show that it is. And probably
rip off the Band-Aid. Let's do it.
Yeah. So we're going to start by the Wolves game. And I've been having a little bit of contact with you during my stay over there. So, and after the Palace game, we were very not happy with the lineup. And I think everyone would have agreed if you asked them after the Palace game and when we saw the lineup for the Wolves game that finally there's no Mustafi. We had Socrates back from his suspension. So we had a lineup.
No Mustafi, no El Neni.
Yeah, exactly. So we had a lineup with Leno in goal, Maitland Niles, Socrates, Koscielny, Nacho Monreal, then Xhaka, Torreira, Iwobi, Ozil, Mkhitaryan, and Lacazette. And the cliffhanger for that one was that Aubameyang was sick. So we didn't have a strong bench, but that's the lineup we picked and was the best lineup we could pick. What were your thoughts when you saw the lineup?
Yeah, exactly what you said. I was excited to see a strong lineup. I know we've talked and some other podcasts have talked about, I think the right way would have been to really go full out for the Palace game and then hopefully get a result, and then you could, you know, have at least some room to for this match. But I'm glad it was a strong team. Xhaka, Torreira, they were good in the beginning of the year. Maitland Niles is not really quite a fullback yet, but at least Nacho on the left. And at least Maitland Niles has some speed. But I'm glad we didn't have Kolasinac at a fullback position. We'll talk about how he did at Leicester later. But, if Mkhitaryan could have shook off some bad form, maybe Ozil could have led that bank of three behind Lacazette. It was promising.
That's the game panned out, I would say. We started kind of good. Until they scored. They scored their first goal in 27th minute. I would say for the first 20 minutes, we looked all right. We didn't look that awful.
No, we were all over them.
Yeah. And but we didn't score. And I
That's a
feel
story for us.
the thing that I've felt about that front four, and I know you haven't been happy with Lacazette recently, but if you don't focus just on Lacazette, I feel like the guys behind him will be Ozil and Mkhitaryan. They're no goal guarantee, so to speak. And I think we could re what you really saw was when we didn't have Ramsey or Aubameyang even in the squad or at the pitch. You saw that we really lacked someone else who could offload Lacazette to help out score, because I feel I wouldn't bet my money too high. I wouldn't bet too much money on either Iwobi, Ozil, or Mkhitaryan to score.
No, aside from Ozil doing that thing into the ground that only he can do, the other two can't shoot straight at all lately. They can't find a final pass. Lacazette's not quick enough to get himself open. So you need someone like Ramsey who'd link midfield all the way to the final third in the attack. Here it's Jaka and Torreira sitting deep. They hit one of those other guys and then they can't link up to Lacazette at all. They keep sending like through balls. That Lacazette is just far too slow. Again, I don't want to sit here and rail on him, like you said. But, Lacazette's not quick enough to run onto through balls. I mean, even the slowest of defenders just seem to always beat him to the ball lately. I don't know, maybe he's tired. Who
But
knows? But, go ahead.
as much as it disregards, like I said, I feel that will always be a problem though if you only have one proper goal scorer in the team. I mean, every striker or whatever can have an off day, and when that striker has an off day or when he doesn't really have any support to offload him, he will always look worse. Doesn't matter who's the striker. If Auba has an off day and he's playing on his own and doesn't really have any other one around him who could help out, offload him to to create chances and to score, he will also look isolated at times. So I don't think that's too much down to Lacazette. I think it's more down to the problem that we don't have anyone else in the team who can offload him and help out creating and scoring.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Mkhitaryan and Iwobi, emphasis on woe. It's they're both in horrible form, and it doesn't look like changing. I don't know what to do with those guys.
That's the thing though, that's something that I feel as well. I would probably say if you look at the bigger picture for the whole season, I can't think of too many games where Mkhitaryan and Iwobi in the same lineup has produced good. I think when we play with either or one of them, they usually are better.
Weren't they playing together in the unbeaten run early in the season?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's right now they can't create anything. I don't Ozil, he had a good patch, but he's not connecting midfield to the attack anymore. It just doesn't he doesn't seem, he's not going to carry the ball. But usually they do some nice interplay and they advance the ball that way with short passes, but it's just not happening. Everything just gets bogged down. Maybe stuck on the sideline unless it's a Kolasinac, run and cutback. But there's no fluidity in progressing up the field to set up an attack. Just everything is stunted and disconnected.
It's also if I take I'm having sitting here with the lineup in front of me, and the one thing that really pops into my mind is that I see that is really missing from this lineup. If we would have played this like in the beginning of the season, I would probably be happy, although Koscielny was injured in the beginning of the season. But the one thing that sticks out for me is that we have Maitland-Niles at the right back in a back four and doesn't have Bellerin. And when Mkhitaryan was good in the beginning of the season, he had a really good understanding with Bellerin. And
Yeah.
I think we've seen the few times that we actually We've actually mostly seen Nacho Monreal playing a back three this season, but I can't say he's been too good the few times he's played as a left back this season. He's not coming forward as well as he used to do. Well, he's never been like the most dangerous guy, but he's always been decent of going forward. And I think with the pace he's lost, I don't think he offers too much going forward anymore. So
Yeah, that's fair.
when you take out of the equation, we don't have fullbacks to help out either, which we have had in the past. I see a very disorientated team with not a lot of people who can create and score goals.
Yeah, which is surprising when you look at the names there. I mean, Mkhitaryan, Ozil, and Lacazette, those three alone, it will be, would be a bonus if you would do something. But yeah, they don't know how to connect in the final third. I mean, there's no danger. Yeah, there's no danger in this lineup once we're on the
No,
field.
that's also when you come into the. I think it also has a lot to do with that. We're so late in the season as well, and a few of them might be a bit knackered, whatever. We had a lot of games. I don't want to make too many excuses for them. That's not what I'm trying to do, but I feel like you need the confident goal scorers in this time of the season. So, for example, Ramsey's always a confident guy that always you would back him to step up in a game like this and probably score. I would at least.
Yeah, and he's a
If it's,
runner.
yeah.
No one else in his team is a runner. Not Xhaka, Torreira, the three guys in behind Lacazette himself. Aside from slightly Mkhitaryan, there's no runner. There's certainly no dribblers in this whole lineup, which is desperately what we need.
I also feel when I'm looking at this lineup, the one thing that we had in the be that we didn't now didn't have on the bench that we had in the beginning of the season. So if we would have started with this in the beginning of the season, we would have had Welbeck to come on as well, and he was a really good sub in the beginning of the season until he got injured.
Yeah, he's a powerful runner, right?
Yeah, so I feel like we're now at the stage where you see that we are. Squad looks very thin. The guys that are starting ain't performing, and they're very comp and they don't have any threat from the bench to have to perform either. And it's like the thing that you would like to see is you would like to see some young kids just being on the bench and like if you don't perform now, we're gonna throw this young kid on and he will be hungry and perform. But we don't really have that either, although we had Nketiah and Joe Willock on the bench.
Yeah, or like look at the Leicester lineup. Elneny's on the bench. We already have Guendouzi on the bench. So bring in Saka. What the hell? I mean, they brought on Nketiah, but what's the point of Elneny? What is he going to do unless there's two injuries in midfield and he has to come on after Guendouzi already comes on?
That's
So
true.
I agree with you. I mean, not that Saka's going to do anything. So it's kind of pointless, but at least it's somebody who can bring him in for 2 minutes can run around. I mean, at least they've been looking to Nketiah a little bit, but
Yep.
I don't know that he really has it at this level.
I don't know. Anyway, I think we should move on and talk a little bit about the three awful games, the goals that we conceded. And on the first goal, it's a free kick from Ruben Neves. And
Do you
we.
remember what the
Well,
foul was? I don't remember the foul. But it
you
was in a
mean.
horrible position.
Yeah. I think it was. I don't remember who. Let's
My
see.
mind immediately goes to Mustafi, but he wasn't even on the field.
Yeah, I was talking to Philip as well. It's like, let's see. Yeah, it was Nacho Monreal who fouled him, and I think it was quite a clumsy foul, if I remember right.
Okay.
I don't remember really. Well, anyway, I've tried to forget as much as possible about the game, I reckon. But anyway, so. Oh, don't. So we put a wall there, although I don't. Not
Sort
sure.
of. We put people there, whether they're a wall or not, is another question.
So the ball goes towards Xhaka, and he turns slash ducks whatever he's trying to do to make sure that Ruben Neves is good on the free kick, but Xhaka really helps him out with not standing in his way or not standing in the way of the ball. Some really horrible defending in that wall. And I don't know what you think, but I think that Leno could get that. Should get that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's over the wall or whatever Jaka did. You guys are Swedish. You should appreciate, ice hockey defending.
Yeah.
You throw your that's a frozen puck coming 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, you throw your
This
arms
is
up.
a soccer ball, football ball, whatever. It's a football. Just take it in the face. Come on. It's the
Yeah.
business end of the season, anyway. No excuse. He ducked under it. I don't know whether Leno could have gotten to it or not. He wasn't the best, but I'm not going to kill him for it. It was over the wall. If it was on the other side and he was cheating to get behind the wall, then I'd have a real problem. But I don't know.
I remember seeing this and I thought that he should get to it, but looking back on it, I feel the biggest mistake is clearly what Xhaka does in the wall.
Yeah, I don't know that what's Swedish for chicken shit. That's what that was.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to dwell too much about it. And then we have their second goal, which is a short corner and a decent cross, and are usually so good defending, which consists of our players flapping around with their arms trying to claim it's an offside at every given
Yeah.
point. If only they could learn how to defend instead of just flapping around with their arms. They've done too much training with Mustafi.
Yeah, I don't know who scored, but I think he was near like the top of the box, and he just walked in. No one even looked at him.
It was
It's shocking.
Matt Doughty or Doherty. Doherty.
Exactly. This is who we're letting in.
Yeah. Yeah, and to make it even better, we make sure to concede a third goal before the halftime. And that game really goes on. That really pisses me off badly. Is they play like in a triangle in the by the midfield or by the halfway line. Xhaka plays a sloppy pass over Mkhitaryan, and I was like, "What are you thinking?" And Mkhitaryan is really lazy and doesn't really try to get to it, so the ball ends up for a Wolves player, and I think
I
he's
mean,
the.
Mickey's tracking the guy. He's behind him. He's not sprinting behind him, but Sokratis is right there.
Yeah, and
So I guess.
he did his best impression of Mustafi, hangs his leg
Yeah,
out.
everything but going down on the ground. He
Yeah.
kind of Olay he Olays it, just turns and, ish, disgusting. And the guy's in.
Which is very weird for me because maybe it was they didn't want to concede another free kick, but otherwise you would back Socrates to do a cynical foul there.
Yeah, but then look where you have a free kick. I mean, in super. I mean, I'm not saying he should have done the Ole Mustafi job. He did, but if you're going to deliberately give up a free kick there, that's big trouble. Especially, when they just got one.
Yeah. So anyway, it ends up with him having a shot, and Leno doesn't make himself proud.
That was horrendous. As
Probably
good as he's
his.
been all season, that was terrible.
Yeah, that's probably the worst mistake he's done, or the worst interference, or whatever you want to call it, that he's had all of the season. I would say.
Yeah.
As
Yeah,
you said, as good as
he
he's
should have gotten a
been,
lot more than that. Yeah.
and I really think he has been good, but yeah, he didn't do himself any justice there.
Yeah, he was leaning to the short side and then gave up the whole rest of the net.
So anyway, we go into the halftime with 3-0 down, which is always awful. And I think
Yeah, and with no bench.
me and you both, yeah, with no bench. And so, yeah, it doesn't. Well, I wouldn't really say. I would say for the most part of the game, it's mostly It's mostly we bring on Guendouzi in the 59th minute for Lucas Torreira. I wouldn't say that changed too much.
That's negative. I
Yeah.
mean, Guendouzi, he can play a good long pass sometimes, but especially lately, he's been less attacking lately.
I would say of the teams that we've faced in this awful run of form with our away games, Wolves has clearly been the best team, I think. Or at least created the
Most dangerous.
most dangerous.
Yeah.
That's the word
Yeah,
I
for
would,
sure.
yeah. Most dangerous
And
shots.
scariest on the fixture list for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, the only change that I think even produced something was when Nketiah came on in the 71st minute. He had a good first action where he tried to cut the ball back. That said, we had a few chances before they scored, well, in the first half. Well, I don't. I'm just gonna be honest, and I have tried to forget as much as possible with it of the game. I think that what that I think that also happens as well. Like, if you don't take your chance and if you don't score and you end up conceding free goals, I think that kind of blur out. Even if Arsenal would have had like some really good chances, you kind of forget that when you. So I remember Nketiah coming on and looking brighter than
Yeah.
anyone of those who started, but didn't. Yeah, he didn't score or he didn't assist anything, but I would say he looked bright when he came on, better than the ones on
Yeah.
the pitch.
Yeah, he looked pretty decent, but I mean, he's not someone we can count on to, be sure they're gonna come in and cause trouble and potentially lead to some kind of goal creation, whether it's scoring or sitting up.
Yeah, I forgot to say that we also brought Kolasinac on, which tells you a lot when you had to bring on Kolasinac for Mkhitaryan. It tells you don't really have that strong bench.
Yeah, but I mean, for a lot of the season, he's been our like go-to attacking weapon, just
If you look at the
marauding down the
bench, he was
left touch
probably the
line.
most dangerous one on the bench. I think if we wouldn't have, let's say we've been like a goal down or so, I think maybe Joe Willock could have made. I don't know if maybe he's just too light in his body, not strong enough. But he's been looking decent a few times he's played this season. But I mean, what's the point of? Well, it depends on which way you're looking at it. We're already down 3-0. Do you want to give it a go, give a kid a chance to impose himself on the game, or do you think it's not worth it when we're gonna lose the game anyway.
Well, we got to cut our goal difference. I mean, we're leaking. We had a, what was it, like a 5-goal difference advantage over Chelsea.
Which is we're now down one goal on them, I think.
Yeah, spoiler alert for everybody.
Yeah. So
Yeah, but
anyway, I
after this
don't.
match, we still had two. So the late Sokratis goal, at
Yeah.
least clawed one of those back. I mean.
Yeah. It was a decent header for him to score. And I don't think I would like to talk anything more than about this game.
No. Yeah, nice
So,
header. Next.
moving on to other bright and cheerless things. We're moving on to the Leicester game, which was even worse. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which always helps the mood,
Yeah,
being in Vancouver.
I'm
And
not gonna cry for you. I
no.
miss it. I miss getting up early. So the matches here, I guess, in South Africa are the same as you guys have in
Yeah.
Sweden. I can't take it. I hate it when matches are at like 6 p.m. I'm used to New York where I roll out of bed at like 9:40. Fastest shower I can possibly manage, and I'm at the pub by 9:59 for kickoff.
Yeah.
Like roll out of bed, the Arsenal. Now it's like I gotta sit around all day. I have heartburn thinking about how bad we've been. Like worry about the match all day.
Well, since
So.
you've been in New York, you never had you at least you have gotten away with not having the 4 a.m. kickoffs. 4 a.m. is not a nice kickoff time.
No, I've been in Vegas at an adult establishment where I had to excuse myself so I can get a taxi you know, screaming through the streets back to the hotel to watch the match at the hotel bar.
Yeah, thank you for helping me out to find somewhere to show the game whilst I was in Vegas. That game was at 8 o'clock in the morning. I had to search around for a place to watch the game, which was the Sin City Gooners bar.
How was it there?
Quiet, I would say. Not too many people out.
You said it was 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too many people there. There were two Palace fans there.
Yeah, but for you and whoever's traveling, first thing you do is just type in the city and Gooners.
That's true.
So just Las Vegas Gooners, and then, yeah, Sin City Gooners pops up.
Yeah,
go
but...
there, Twitter or whatever. And...
We didn't do too much research, but I was thinking that with them having a bazillion screens in the hotel, surely if they should show the Arsenal game, but they didn't. Because it was apparently on some NBC Gold channel, which was you had to pay extra for, and I was like, well, I'm in the biggest hotel in Vegas, maybe they could afford to pay those extra quid for some extra rights when it comes to sports.
Yeah, they fucked up the whole system. Everything's now, there's different paywalls. Yeah, it used to be you pay for the service, you get them all. Now you can pay for it, then you could get like silver, then you can get gold. Yeah, well, messed up.
Yeah. Let's not get into the conversation about how messed up the television rights is when it comes to the Premier League. Then I would get really sad because we have that in Sweden all of the time.
Yeah, let's get back to the cheery subject of the current Arsenal form.
Yep. So, for the game, Aubameyang was back from his whatever injury.
Procedure, sinus procedure.
Yeah. And we had a lineup with Leno in goal. Maitland-Niles, Mustafi was back, which was awful. Socrates, Kolasinac.
Yeah, didn't he need that procedure? Can we? I'm sure he needs some. He definitely needs some procedure.
And then Mkhitaryan, Torreira, Xhaka, Iwobi, Lacazette, and Aubameyang. And when I saw the lineup, I thought, well, obviously not happy with Mustafi being back, but I could see it that maybe you can't expect Koscielny to play. Yeah, three games in a week, which is unfortunate, but I saw the logic in why he didn't start.
No, totally. And then you saw when he came on, he was a little lead-footed. But I was thinking, oh, maybe you can try Mavropanos next to Sokratis, who's going to do everything he can to protect him, you know, because he loves Mavropanos.
Yeah.
But then again, I was at Leicester's game last year and watched Mavropanos get a red card, you know. 2 seconds into the match.
Yeah. So, I think maybe that's the first part of the game where, speaking about someone getting a red card, Maitland-Niles got a red card. Or he got two yellows. What were your thoughts about the two yellows?
Both were complete horseshit. The first one, if you have to, you can give a foul. But it was just, I mean, their arms touched. And was it Madison? He just flew over. Or no, Chilwell. It was Chilwell.
Yeah.
So he just tumbled over. I mean, a yellow at like 2 minutes into the match for that nothing.
And then
he slightly blocked him off, but big deal. I can't imagine that's a yellow.
And then you saw after that first yellow that he was a bit cautious, didn't want to. Yep, you saw him defending in our penalty area. That he was cautious to not give the ref a chance to give him a second yellow.
Yeah, well,
and then,
well, one, it's bad enough. He's not a fullback. You know, maybe you can say he's really become a decent wingback. But he's definitely not a fullback yet. And
no.
Then they stick him next to the walking disaster that's Mustafi. And then he's on a yellow. I mean, that's not exactly a recipe for success.
No, that's what I think when I think people criticize him too much. Like, oh, Maitland-Niles is so bad. And I was like, well, what do you expect from a guy who's playing at fullback, who isn't even a fullback? He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And he hasn't ever had a chance to play in his natural position. It's like, give the kid a break.
Yeah, I don't think our suffering's down to him playing right back or right wing back. Over the long stretch, I mean.
Wes,
If anything, I think it's been a
speaking
nice
about
surprise
right
that he's been
backs,
decent.
speaking about right backs, what happened to Lichtsteiner? Did he go on holiday? Wasn't he back? And then where is he now?
Did he reach mandatory retirement age or something? I don't know. He's not even. I don't know.
I
I see
haven't
a
missed
tweet
him
from
that
him once in
much,
a
but I
while.
mean, it's like you think he should. I remember him getting an injury, but he should probably be back now. I haven't heard anything about him for ages now.
Yeah, I hear some people say they just decided he's too much of a liability to put out there. But you know, that's bullshit because they keep putting Mustafi out there. If anyone gets that clause of they're not good enough, don't play him, it's Mustafi.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what happened. He's not even on the bench. He's not in the stadium. But again, I see him tweet every once in a while, like, oh, nice effort from the boys or something like that. I don't know. I don't miss him really, but it's a good question. They even brought
Well,
out Jenkins instead of him.
yeah. So anyway, moving on then. So he gets
What do
his
you think
red
of
card.
the?
He gets
Yeah,
the
go.
second yellow, and well, the thing is, you see him get done or dribbled past him, and he throws himself into a clumsy challenge. But when you see the challenge again, he doesn't even touch Maddison.
No, he lunged for the pass, not even in the direction of the player, like in parallel.
And
And
then
then
Maddison
Madison.
dives and throws himself on the ground, and of course might look bad, but Michael Oliver is supposed to be probably the referee that's the most highly thought of the Premier League referees,
Yeah,
and he
I
really
remember
had an awful game.
he reffed us at once a good game against Man City a few years ago. But
Oh.
otherwise, I'm not a big fan of this guy. But I mean, again, it
Man
comes.
United when he sent off Di Maria for his simulation, gave him a second
Maybe,
yellow and then
yeah,
he
maybe
pushed
that's it.
him.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That
Yeah,
after
but.
that one, I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for him, but he really was bad this game. And the thing
Yeah.
that I haven't written down now that is awful that he missed, it's the studs in the chest on, was it on Torreira?
Yeah, it was Chaudhry, but I don't know. I go back and forth on that one.
Well, it studs in
Like,
the chest, and he doesn't get a yellow for it.
well, was it intentional? And Torreira was on the ground, and Chaudhry was
Still.
looking at the ball. You know, I don't want anyone touching Lucas, but I don't know. Like, if one of our guys did that, I would say it was accidental.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm trying not to. I'm not in the mood to make excuses for our team right now. Not that that's an excuse, but.
Yeah, I was more focusing on that. I think that Michael Oliver really didn't have a good game.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that.
Well, anyway, so we go into half time. It's nil nil. Koscielny has come on for Maitland Niles, which wasn't good according to the plans, and in this instance, I would probably have taken Lichtsteiner just to give Koscielny the extra rest, maybe. Or, yeah.
Oh, and then have Lichtsteiner and Mustafi on the side where, what's that guy? Harvey Barnes was running like crazy in the second half.
Well, maybe not then. Well, anyway, we go into halftime, it's
But.
0-0. Well, and we're really awful. We don't create anything, I would say, of any stature in the whole game. And then in the 59th minute, Yuri Tielemans scores. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I was watching it. Xhaka just lets him run right. He's right in front of Xhaka, and Xhaka is just focused on the ball. And then Koscielny, who's deeper, and where Tielemans was going to run, is also watching the ball. So Tielemans just runs in there, and basically has a free header.
Yeah.
But about Tielemans, that's who we should have loaned. I mean, fuck Denis Suarez, you know, who wasn't playing, who came unfit. Tielemans fits the exact profile we need. You know, something in the neighborhood of a Ramsey type player. And I don't know. And if you read Twitter of like stats guys, they always mention Tielemans as a reasonable prospect. You know, and so it's just frustrating when you see Leicester pick him up on loan. And he comes right in and has an obvious, you know, an immediate impact on their team. I mean, Tielemans was an obvious name out there for us.
Yeah.
And but we got this garbage Spanish Barcelona connection, who now that we might get cursed with Zubizarreta as a director, you know, a failed director that no one else wants. But Sanjay might bring him in if rumors are true.
But I mean, I'm just watching the second goal there. It's like, that should never happen. How is it possible
the Vardy goal?
Yeah.
It's worthless.
How is it possible for a goalkeeper to just kick the ball out straight to him and to...
Yeah, and he just runs right by both of these guys. Koscielny, you know, tries to play the ball. But you have two guys marking one guy. One play deep, one play, you know, try to mark him a little bit. But they're both running with him, and how's that going to work? This is Vardy. You know, Sokratis can run a little bit when he has to, but he's not going to beat Jamie Vardy over 30 yards.
No.
I guess you can say it was a nice ball, but no, that can't happen at the professional level. I mean, yeah, less said about that, the better. I don't know what else. And I mean, Leno was a little too far out, I guess. And he never really committed whether he was going to charge or stay back. So he was in no man's land and got chipped. There's really no credit anywhere on that one.
Well, although if you look in the bigger picture of the whole game, Leno had some really, really good saves.
Yeah, it was great to see after he was pretty crap against Wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, he kept us in it. Without a doubt. If you think creating nothing is keeping us in it, I mean, a one goal advantage for them was almost insurmountable the way we were looking.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to add on this game?
Let's see. I liked when Emery was doing his little diving motions.
Yeah, that was fun.
And swimming. He was doing a whole, you know, triathlon over there. Running, diving, swimming. That's not a triathlon, but fine, whatever. What else? I didn't see a lot of huge effort. There was not one outstanding performance. Except for Leno, you can say that. But then, you know, it was weak on the first Vardy goal. But, it's frustrating. I don't the Xhaka and Torreira. Let's talk about that. That midfield, those two who are just not in sync right now. And then with Mkhitaryan and Iwobi, who we talked about, are just way out of sorts. Now they're playing in midfield. I mean, I don't know how that was supposed to work. I like getting the two, you know, Laka and Alba up front. But again, we're having trouble linking to them. And now having a flat, you know, midfield four, I don't think that helps.
And that's the thing also, it's not just this game, but if you look at it going forward, I mean, from what it looks like now, it's confirmed that Ramsey would be out for the season, maybe have a chance to be back if we reach the final in the Europa League. But he's not going to be back for the two last league games. There's not really much that we could put in. So at this point, I don't really know what we should do.
Yeah, that's
it's
know.
Like you don't want to proceed with this lineup for the last two games and the last two league games, and then we have the two semifinals as well. So if we were to say that none of our If I look at the lineup here, and I assume that Mesut Ozil isn't ill.
Yeah, so what happened to him? I guess I didn't see the article or something. Where the hell was he?
No, he wasn't ill. I think he had a foot injury, maybe. I don't know. Some minor injury. Anyway, but if you assume
Yeah.
that he would be fit, I mean, there's not too much fiddling you could do. It's like, well, you could maybe go to. I would probably, if I had the choice now, since the midfield ain't working, I would probably go to back three with Socrates, Koscielny, Monreal, and then have Kolasinac and Maitland-Niles as the fullbacks. Now that
Was Nacho also has a minor foot or something like that?
maybe, and then play.
Well,
Torreira,
what Maitland-Niles is done, right? For
yeah,
the
for
Premier
next,
League.
yeah, now it's only gonna be out one game since it's two
Oh, okay,
yellows.
yeah, right.
Well, I'm trying to look at the bigger pictures, like what is that we could fiddle around with? What could we do to get something else out of the team? And the first thing that pops into mind is like, well, we could go to a back three with Kolasinac as wing back, and Maitland-Niles won't be available for next game, so then probably since it's at home against Brighton, maybe you have to play Jenkinson as a wing back, or Lichtsteiner if he's ever available again. Although I don't think he's a good wing back, he's very bad at
No.
going forward, doesn't have no
No,
legs.
we're. Yeah, I don't.
But we're in a
Well.
real mess. Well, anyway, whatever we put out against Brighton, I still think we would have a shot. We should have a chance of beating Brighton. But I still don't see this. What I'm trying to get at is I don't see there's too many things we could do with the squad we have right now to get those guys out who are really out of form. So, for instance, I wouldn't like to play both Mkhitaryan and Iwobi from the start in the upcoming games, but I don't see there's too many options to take one or the other out.
Well, if you take out Iwobi, you can put Alba
Mkhitaryan.
on the left
Yeah, that's true.
and Mkhitaryan on the right, Ozil in the middle, behind Laka.
That's an option, but I mean,
Like we did that a lot, what, at the end of last season, or when he first got here, he was out on the left a lot. No one really liked it, but he didn't seem to mind, and they scored goals.
yeah, both. Yeah, as I said, the point that I was trying to get is like we don't have too many different options and choices to make
Yeah.
to mix it up to make us a better side, which is a bit
Yeah,
sad.
and Jaka and Torreira, to me at least, are showing a lot of signs that it's not quite the pairing that we were hoping for.
They were good in the beginning of the season, but they don't look to be so anymore. And at this crucial point, I don't think we should lean on Guendouzi, a young kid, very inexperienced. He's not the type of player you should have to rely on now. So I think we're in a bit of a mess. That's all I'm gonna say. Anyway, I
Yeah.
think we probably covered these two awful games more than enough. And I know that you.
Do you remember any chances aside from what the Iwobi cross to Lacazette, where he shanked because he was
No.
afraid of using his left foot, I guess. Even though
No.
he took like five left-footed shots outside the box later on. I don't know why he didn't try
I
his left
also
foot on that one.
remember Iwobi also had
Iwobi.
a
Yeah.
Iwobi also had a shot straight at he got a through ball from Aubameyang and he fired a ball straight at Peter Schmeich or at Schmeichel.
Yeah, we got to fly like Dennis Bergkamp back and teach Iwobi how to practice. Iwobi should be shooting for like 2 hours by himself after every match. I mean, he falls down half the time he shoots, like he did on that one.
Yeah.
He dribbled the left foot, nothing, right at the keeper, and then he fell down. I mean, you listen to like Clive from Arsenal Vision always talk about his body shape and this and that. And he doesn't approach the shot with any confidence. His body's all out of whack. You can tell he doesn't feel like he's going to score. But I mean, he should be there every day working on it, and we should see, like, you know, some more composure or at least more solid technique and conviction behind his shots.
The only time you see him scoring is when he's offside. Then you see him have, like, really, well, it's true though.
We've seen him
like
off.
a few times this season. He's had really good shots when he's been offside.
Yeah, because something had to go wrong for him to get it right. I don't want to kill the guys getting young, but it's about time we see some more concrete signs that he's going to develop this, because, I don't know, I'm starting to lose the confidence that it's there. If it's even in him, you know?
Well, can we please stop talking about these games now? I'm sick and tired of them. So anyway, I know that you... I don't think it's fair for you to take out the players on this game. So I decided that you get to give player of the season, where you give, which we usually do on games, where we give 1 point to the third best player, 2 points to the second best player, and 3 points to the best player in a specific game that we talk about. We usually have a focus game that we talk about, even if we talk about two or three games. The listeners will know that if they've listened before. But I've decided to change it, and I'm going to give you the honor to pick your top three player of the season with the same criteria. You give 1 point to the third best player, 2 points to the second best player, and 3 points to the best player regarding all of the season, and with a little bit of motivation on why. Because I wanted to be a bit cheerier, a bit happier.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Because I sketched out some players for the last two, and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
So who would I couldn't really come up with any rationale for these guys.
So who is your third best player for this season for Arsenal? All
right, third on my list, but first in my heart for this season, Lucas Torreira. You know, he's come in, you know, solidified the midfield, give us a boost at some really times where we really needed it. He showed some nice linking up with attack. He hasn't shown that lately. Unfortunately, he had some stretches where he got tired. He wasn't in the team too much, but I think a really promising first season for Torreira. You love the effort he puts out there. A little too much of the Uruguay, you know, acting a little bit for me, but the effort's always there. He's a little guy, I'm a little guy, so yeah, I think it's been great.
Scored two magnificent goals, the one against Spurs when he celebrates the proper way. That's probably one of my favorite moments of all of this season.
Yeah, I was there. I'll always remember seeing his first goal against the Scum in a big win that we needed that.
And then
that was the thing of beauty.
And then the bicycle kick against Huddersfield, where we is not 0-0 the whole game. Was it Huddersfield? You scored there.
Yeah, sure. I'll say Huddersfield. Why not? I don't remember, but I know it's my phone wallpaper. I'm sure it's like 40% of the people out there is either their like a computer wallpaper or their phone wallpaper. And yeah, it was beautiful. And I think he had a really solid first season. I mean, he's cursed with some real statues next to him, unfortunately, a lot of the time. But that's a real promising first season. Yeah. I was excited to get him, and I think he, for the most part, lived up to it in his first year.
It was against Huddersfield he scored that magnificent bicycle kick goal.
Yeah, well remembered, Oscar.
So, I know. So, is your second best player of this season?
That's got to be Mustafi. No, it's not Mustafi. In a farewell to him, give 2 points to Aaron Ramsey. You know, two for the road. Yeah, it took Emery a while to really see where he fit in his plans and how, you know, Emery would use him. But once he finally came, especially when he came into proper, you know, proper midfield, you know, it was kind of didn't really work when he's too far up front, because it's really the late runs where he gives us that advantage and then his energy getting back. But he, you know, he's all over the place, and it's good to see. It's just unfortunate he's not available enough. And as you know, we've talked, you know, that's the reason why if you didn't sell him, you can't give him a big contract, because it's just too much salary going to a player who is really not going to give you even 30 Premier League matches a season. I think he did it once in the last six seasons, and it was 31 matches. So, but this is positive. He's been great. You know, he has his defining character, which is his engine. He can run all game, not the fastest, but he's going to be running all game. And this season, I think he's been more composed with his finishing and not blasting everything into row Z. So I think it's been a real positive to us. And, you know, he's shown his love for the club, and that's been admirable and made me think of the player that I was really starting to fall in love with, you know, when he had those that big 9 months. It's just been stop and start because he's got hamstrings made of wet toilet paper.
Yeah. So yeah,
good on Aaron Ramsey. Good season. I wish there was more of him. But it's a good farewell. It's a good good last showing for the club, you know. And it's sad to see him go, but I've been saying we should sell him for a couple of years now. And if we didn't sell him, we had to let him go with the money he wants. But good on you, Aaron. You know, I think you made yourself proud and showed your love for the club. And that's, I mean, what more can I ask?
He scored some, I think he stepped forward in a few times this season when we really needed him. With some big games performances. He scored a lovely goal, which wasn't enough in the end against Tottenham away, for example. Pointing at the pitch, this is my fucking pitch.
That was beautiful. But yeah, I think without him, I think we could have been out of Europe and we would have been out of the top four race a while ago.
Yeah.
So I think when he was inserted into midfield, he really rescued our season. You know, he may have rescued Ozil's season. You know, when they started to play together, Ozil really woke up as well.
Yes. It's a shame he will not play no more this season, at least not in the Premier League. And he's definitely out in the two. It would be good to have him for this last two upcoming games and for the two semifinals.
Yeah, it's going to be a disaster. I mean, because the midfield right now is a real disaster without him. As much as he was the real solution that we found, now we're lacking that.
So, who's your player of the season?
Yeah, I think going into the season, there's no way I would ever have thought this would be my player of the season. I would have thought anything we could get out of him would have been nice. But Koscielny, I think, I don't want to say far and away. Well, all right, fine, far and away, I think he's my player of the season. I mean, where the hell would we be without him? Look how much he's played. And played at a really top level. Coming off an Achilles at age 32, 33, whatever he is. It's just amazing. And he's been consistently good. You know, lately, the last match or two, he's shown some signs of fading a little bit. But I think he's been fantastic. And I don't know. With Mustafi in the lineup, imagine where we'd be without Koscielny. You know, every game he played, that means Mustafi's in there again. If he's next to Mustafi, just imagine what Mustafi would have done without Koscielny being so good. And I can't remember. Do we have an option on Koscielny, or is he done after this season? Because I wouldn't mind seeing back next season. But if he wants to go and play in France, let him. But I think he's been consistently good in all season and in a season where we didn't know what we would get. So I think just... not just down to the surprise of it all, but just the quality of his season. It's been great.
Yeah, I think he has a year left, maybe.
You know, and you know he's going to be a warrior. He's going to play again till that Achilles snaps. But it doesn't show any signs. I mean, he gets fatigue because he's older, but, you know, he's smarter than he used to be. He's not as front-footed, but he's got just enough pace to still do it, and he's got a little maturity to be in the right position. To start, so he doesn't have to have all that pace all the time.
Well, I don't think you can say enough about how remarkable it is to how well he's managed this season.
Yeah, definitely. So what I can do, though, is give him 3 points.
That's good. I don't know if we should maybe say a few words about the upcoming important game tomorrow. What are your thoughts about the important game tomorrow?
Yeah, well, like we keep saying, going to really miss Ramsey. I don't know what the update is on Ozil. I don't know where he is. Is he in the country? Who knows where he is? I don't know. I haven't seen an update today. But we have a lot of guys just flat right now. Jock is, can't string two passes together. You know, his set piece delivery is spotty at best right now. And then Mkhitaryan and Iwobi just horrendous lately. And the strikers aren't firing. So we got to find some inspiration. The crowd better be up for it tomorrow. And Emery better get these guys fired up because we need it.
I think we
got to have...
We need to start with both Aubameyang and Lacazette.
And with Sokratis and Koscielny.
Yeah.
I think we I think we got to go back three if we can do it.
It doesn't say anything in the injury update about Ozil. So then I would start Ozil.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got to jump. I mean, we're so bad away, especially. We got to do like we did against Naples. We got to jump on them the first leg, hopefully get an advantage. Don't concede. That would be beautiful. But again, we had Ramsey then, and Ramsey in top form.
Yeah, I think we're set up to win this game. I'm not too afraid about Valencia, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know much about them. I know they have Gabriel and they have Coquelin.
Yeah, and I am...
But Coquelin suspended for the first one.
Okay.
But I don't know, maybe we can have someone, you know, whisper in Gabriel's ear, get him crazy to do a Costa on us, a Diego Costa wig out.
Maybe. Well, maybe not. Well, I think we're going to win this game. I think we're going to see a similar thing as against... To be honest, I think they are probably a worse team than Napoli. And Napoli didn't impress me that much. Before, if you asked me beforehand, going into the quarterfinals, if you asked me which team I would prefer, Valencia or... Now we're through the quarterfinals, but if you asked me if I would have taken Valencia or Napoli, I would easily have taken Valencia.
Yeah, of course, because you would have said, hey, I don't want to hit Napoli until we get to the finals.
That's true.
But yeah, they weren't too impressive. I don't even know what Valencia's attack looks like. So it's tough for me to say, but hey, they're in the semis, so they can't be too horrible. But we got to do it at home. We got to do it in this one.
I know that they... they lost their last game against Real Betis.
Yeah, and how about us? So what have we done?
So in their last, see how many players you could name. See how many players you recognize in this team. They have Neto in goal.
What?
They have G. Gaia as the fullback. Then they have Paulista, Gray, D. Vass. Then they have C. Soler, Danny Parejo, Francis Coquelin, D. Tershave, Santi Mina, Goncalo Guazedes. I think Guazedes is...
He's really good. He's really good. I remember like a year or two, I was dying for us to get him. He scares me. All right.
Okay, they won against... no, this was against Betis. I think this wasn't the last game they played, but anyway... And I know.
Well, what have we lost? Three in a row.
Yeah, and I know who Tony Lato is as well. I have him on Football Manager. He's decent at Football Manager. I don't know if he's decent.
Tony Lato.
Tony Lato.
Okay. Anyway. Sure. Gacetes makes me nervous though.
Yeah, they lost the last game against Eibar. That's who they lost against.
Okay. I don't know anything about Eibar.
Me neither.
Yeah, they're like a yo-yo team. They're up, they're down. They're up, they're down.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know too much about their team, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're going to put our team good enough to nick a few goals, hopefully keep a clean sheet, and then let's go to the Mestalla and finish it off.
Is the Mestalla, have they built the stadium yet? Or is they still trying to build them, their new stadium?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I said Mestalla like it's still the big stadium. So, you know, man, maybe they aren't a new one actually. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they have a new one. I don't know. Maybe they don't. Who knows? Let's hope it doesn't matter because we dominate tomorrow. As
They're in
much
the
as we've been
Mestalla, and that's the
hating
only
on the
one.
squad. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a big name stadium. But we got the Emirates and let's do it there tomorrow. And we gotta be aggressive, we gotta take this. But then don't be reckless and give away a late goal.
Yeah. They haven't finished their new stadium yet. They started building it in 2007. The new Mestalla is not finished
really?
Yet.
They're even worse than the
this
scum.
is some funny anecdote. So it says, on the 3rd of October 2017, Valencia announced they will begin negotiation with Valencia City Council to renew the project and to complete the building process of the new Mestalla. That's
Yeah,
a
no,
bit
I
of a
remember
mess.
Reading that, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to do something that you're not prepared of here. This
okay.
is called the Top 4 Trophy. Or the top four race, whatever you want to call it. So I'm going
Right.
to ask you, and you're going to give me quick answers, and you're going to say how
Match
many...
results.
Yep. So I'm going to start with Man United, because they're behind us. They In their
yeah.
next game, they play Huddersfield away. Win, loss, or draw?
It's a win.
Win. And then they have Cardiff at home in their last game.
Yeah, that's another win.
That would... And them in the total points of 71 points.
That gets me worried because I don't know if we're going to get six, but we'll see.
Yep. And then you have Chelsea. They have Watford at home after they travel to Frankfurt away. Is what do you say Watford away? Or at home. How's that going to go for Chelsea?
I say they'll draw.
Nice one. And
Fantini's going to get a penalty or something. And not fuck it up.
Well, they did draw against Burnley at home, so I wouldn't rule it out. Especially since they have an important away trip to Frankfurt a few days before that.
Yeah.
And then they finish off at Leicester away.
Ugh. Shit. Well, you said quick. Leicester away. I'll get... Oh, shit. And that's when? On a Sunday after the Thursday against Frankfurt?
I would think so, yeah. I'm going to have a quick, not so quick check. Chelsea playing. Yep. It is.
I don't know. I think Hazard's going to get him a win in that one.
So a win. That would
I think they'll win one of those two and draw the other.
That would end them on 72 points. And then you have the awful neighbor of ours, who's actually our neighbor again. They play against the Bournemouth away.
Without the mouth breather.
And they
yeah,
now
probably.
they now probably have to focus on the return leg of Ajax, which they have next week as well.
Give them a draw away.
Okay. And then they finish off at home against Everton.
That's a win.
That ends them on 70 points plus.
Hold on, I just threw up in my mouth. I gotta rinse
74
it.
Points. That would make them finish on the third place. And then you have the good old Arsenal, who plays Brighton at home and Burnley away. And if you speak with your heart, you would say two wins now. So are you going to speak with your heart?
Yes.
Two wins. That would leave us in 66 plus 6, 72 points. So that would say...
Level with Chelsea, and we're going to beat them on goal difference because we have the two wins.
Perfect. That's a cheery note to end it on. And if somehow only the good old Tottenham could maybe fuck it up some way and get in a loss there some way along the road, that would mean we finish in the third place, which I don't think, but we got...
Oscar, you missed it. They already fucked it up, and then we fucked it up worse.
Yep.
They fucked it up. They let us in. We were third, what, like 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? We were third.
Yeah, I know. We should
and
be
then
in
we
third
lost
now.
Three in a row.
Yeah. Anyway, we gonna end it on you thinking we finish top four.
Oh, that's what I said. What?
Yeah. We're gonna
Yeah, I'll
end
go
it
with that.
on.
Hell, why not? Please.
Please
And
finish in the top
and
four.
Europa League.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Hey,
And
Mkhitaryan's so bad. Do we care if he even gets a visa in Baku?
well, we don't have any players, so
Yeah, no, we need it.
yeah, we need some
Get a
players.
visa for him. Get a Ramsey magic bomb on his hamstring.
Yeah. Well, I
And then
think
beat Frankfurt in in Baku.
we're gonna finish the podcast with a bit of shout out to Ajax. Thank you for winning last night. Unfortunately, couldn't score more, but we're behind you, Ajax. You need to do this for humanity. It's
Yeah,
important that
please,
you
all the
win
way.
this.
And they did
Come
win
on,
style, which
Ajax.
was nice. Yeah, come on,
Yeah.
Ajax. Whatever that cheer is, do you know
No, I don't know it. Don't know that language so
right,
well.
come, all right, come on, Ajax, it is then.
Yeah. Well, very nice to speak to you again, Eric. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, come on. We gotta talk after a win one of these days.
Yeah, I'm gonna make that happen. Probably next season, maybe.
Well, yeah. Emery's gotta make it happen. And the squad.
Yeah, and our. Yeah, we have a massive summer upcoming and a few games to finish the season off as well.
Yeah, I just hope we're not getting again all these Spanish rejects.
No, that would be good.
Please, no Andre Gomez.
No, please not. Anyway, thank you for coming on and speak to you soon, man.
Yeah, Oscar, be good.
Good to be.
To be
Guna.